I saw a funny meme some time ago. I don't know if you know what a meme is, but it was a photo with a caption, and it showed this really old, decrepit, bent over, wrinkled man who'd been in a pastorate. And it said, being in a pastorate doesn't do anything to you. I feel still feel very young. And I thought of that as Brother Hale was going through his litany of things that he knew as a little boy. And, you know, the things that the way they used to be and how long we've been. Now, we didn't have a phone that was bolted to the wall like you did. But when you think of 28 years, that's over a quarter of a century. And so a lot of time has passed. I was 37 when we came. My wife was younger than that. I think she was 29, 28 or 29 at the time. And so many years have passed. And so when you think in gratefulness for what God has done, it's just hard to believe. But we also realize that time is fleeting. And as someone once said, that only what's done for the Lord will last. And that is true. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, it was Tuesday, August the 29th, our son, Barak, went to work late at night there in Greenville. And he was in the office. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. May have been later. I forget. It was about that late here. And he was in there doing some work when he heard somebody knocking at a door. And so he peeked out, and then he heard knocking at another door, the front door, and the building was surrounded. And men were screaming at him, "Come out with your hands up." So he walked out. He was wearing his own pistol, and he had had concealed class, and he knew well enough, don't pull that thing. And he looked out, and the building was surrounded by 15 sheriff's deputies. And they came in and immediately grabbed him, handcuffed him. And he said, why, what's going on? What are you arresting me for? And they just said, be quiet, took him outside, put him by the patrol car. And he kept saying, what's going on? I can. They said something about there's an intruder, and they thought he was the intruder. We got a call. And so while they were doing that, they were searching the building, and he began to produce as best he could without with his hands behind his back, "You can find the keys to the building in my pocket. And furthermore, my photo ID, I've got a concealed weapons permit." By the way, when they walked in, he came in, he says right away, he says, "I've got a pistol on me. Just so you know." So he was doing good in doing that. And then he said, "You've got my driver's license in there. I've got the keys to the building. I am the one who works here." He said, "You can go to my phone. It's got the security footage on it of you even coming in here." To no avail. He was an intruder in their minds until a guy came screeching up in his car, jumped out and said, "You've got the wrong building." And the guy, who was the owner of the building where the intruder was able to attest to the fact, "This guy is not the one." And that was Barak's night that night. So he sent us a picture of him beside a patrol car going like this. And that's all he sent. And my wife and I are like, "What's going on?" So we're texting him back saying, "What's going on?" He didn't send anything. Next picture was from the footage of these guys, you know, in the building with their guns drawn and so forth, all from the footage. And so finally he called and explained to us what had happened. I say that to say this. He was not verified as the owner or the one who was qualified to be into that building until the right documents were produced. Mainly the other guy coming and saying, "You've got the wrong building." You know, there's a passage where Jesus talks about disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, actually. Then are ye my disciples truly. If someone were to ask you to produce documents to authenticate that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, what would you produce? In 28 years of ministry in Greeley, it's heartbreaking to see many fakes, many frauds, pretenders, counterfeits, phonies. They've been here. Some actually became members. And when they're exposed, it's like, how come we did not see this? My mind always goes back to the disciples and the phony in their midst, Judas Iscariot. They had no idea. And it just constantly reminds me that only the Lord knows, but we can pray for discernment. And there are times when the phony is becoming exposed because of their inability to produce authenticating documents. I'm not talking about something on paper. I'm not talking about something that they say. But what Jesus says must be produced in order to authenticate you as a disciple. I remember when my dad was sick with cancer and we knew he was going to pass away. I was driving him there in Hutchinson, Kansas. I remember we were right by the Cosmosphere. And I asked my dad, as he was sitting in a seat beside me, he said, "Dad, are you scared to die?" And he began to weep and he said, "No, I just want to make sure all my family is in the fold." And as I think about this church, I think, I just want to make sure each of you is in the fold. As the under-shepherd, are you in the fold? Do you truly belong to Jesus Christ? Can you document that? Can you produce authenticating documents that say that you're in the fold? Here in John chapter 8, I read beginning in verse 21, and I just want to go through, as I did years ago when I preached through this passage, there were three probing questions that I came up with, each with a tragic possibility that's listed in verses 21 through 32. Here's the first probing question. It's found in verses 21 to 24. Is it possible to seek Jesus and not go where he is? Is it possible to seek him and not go where he is? He says in verse 21, "I go my way, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. And where I go, you can't come." Is it possible to seek him and not go where he is? It is possible for someone to be a perpetual seeker, not in the way expressed by Jeremiah when he says that when you seek him with all your heart, you shall find him. But somebody who is constantly saying, I'm seeking God. But they're not doing so with all their heart. Perpetual seekers. I remember at our very first service in Creston McAuliffe, there was a man who came that my wife and I went to visit. And he says, "Well, I'm just looking for a good church." And we challenged him to come, but he didn't come until 10 years later. We had just built the building. And on the day we dedicated, that same man walked in the building. I recognized him right away. I remember that visit we had with him. And I said, "Hey, it's good to see you. Did you ever find a church?" He says, "No, I'm still looking." There are people who are perpetual seekers, always seeking, never finding. There are people who are seeking a job all their life. They're not committed. True salvation, folks, is not in the seeking, it's in the believing. You can be seeking and seeking and seeking, but if you're not believing, you can be seeking all your life. You do have this promise that if you seek him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. Because if you're truly doing it with all your heart, he promises, I will be found of you. But it is possible for you to even deceive yourself in your seeking if you're not saved this morning. Second question I find in verses 25 to 29. I don't find the question here, but I pose this question. Verses 25 to 29, since we read that, is it possible to see Jesus and not know who he is? Is it possible to see him and not know who he is? I've met people whose salvation consisted of having seen a vision. Oh, I saw Jesus in a vision, so I'm on my way to heaven. Is it possible to see him and not go to heaven? Oh, people would say, well, no, man, if I ever saw him, I would sure, certainly believe. Well, John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 men beside women and children. All those people saw him with their eyes. Does that mean they were saved? Did the Pharisees see him with their eyes? Did the scribes, did the Sadducees, did they not all see him with their eyes? Didn't Pilate and Herod see him with their eyes? Yes, it is possible to see him with your eyes and yet not know who he is. Thirdly, and this is the question I pose for what we're looking at this morning, verses 30 and 32, is it possible to believe in Jesus and not be his disciple? I remind you again of what it says in verse 30, as he spake these words, many what on him? So they were believers. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to the people who professed that they believed him. And it is there that he says, now, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Next word. Indeed. The word indeed is related to the word true that you'll see in verse 32, the truth. And it literally means, then you shall be my disciples truly. My true disciples. You can call yourself a believer and not be a believer. You can call yourself a disciple and not be a disciple. So I'm looking at authentic disciples in this passage this morning. Here's the owner of the sheep, the shepherd, and he declares what the authentic document of a disciple is. And I want you to get this if you get nothing else this morning. The authentic document, it's not written, it's not on paper. The authentic document is found there in verse 31. If you continue in my word. Now, how do you document that? Sometimes you don't know until that person discontinues. Then you go, oh, was not a Christian. The authenticating document for you being a disciple is that you continue in his word. Not all who profess to believe in Jesus Christ are actually or indeed disciples of Christ. How do you know if someone is really a disciple of Christ? Somebody who is truly saved? Who is saved? Somebody who is my disciple indeed? The many who believed in verse 30, Jesus addresses in verses 31 and following. And we too often assume someone to be saved because they say so, disregarding the fact that they don't live so. Did you get that? Years ago, I don't remember what year, I think it's 2014, we had a couple attending our church. And they declared to me, we would like to be baptized. Well, I didn't know anything about them. So I said, well, I'd like to talk to you first. Salgados know them, Seth and Lindy. And I made an appointment with them, and they came in my office, and indeed I found out they were not saved. And I challenged them on that. I don't believe you folks are saved. They accepted Christ that day in my office. And Lindy after we baptized her, thanked me for letting her not go on without challenging her about her salvation. Thank you for challenging me. Folks, there's much easy believism. Many who say, I'm a Christian, and no one's supposed to dispute that. One of the greatest benefits to Christendom, I believe, would be to unmask professing believers for what they actually are. Unbelievers. One of the best things that could happen in a church is for people to be unmasked for who they really are. Unbelievers. With the hope that they would see that they're not truly trusting Christ and they would come to know Him as their personal Savior. So, this morning, what documents can you produce authenticating that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Not a piece of paper, not a verbal claim. It's one word. Continuance. I want to present to you the principle of abiding, the principle of continuance found in that statement that Jesus gives, starting off with the word if ye continue in my word. We're exhorted in the Bible to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You answer, well, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, so I am in the faith. Really? We must heed what Jesus kept on saying. Verse 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. It literally reads this way. Then Jesus kept on saying to those Jews. So he keeps repeating this. He keeps saying this to these Jews who come around. He keeps saying to them, now if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So here's the principle of continuance as it relates to being an authentic disciple. Three things. Number one, the character of continuance. The character of continuance. Don't you find it interesting that Jesus does not right away accept these new believers as converts? Oh, you prayed a prayer. Instead, he puts them to the test. If you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Therefore, it says in verse 31, then, the word then means therefore. Therefore, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, because they believed on him, therefore he says here what he says. He has something to say to those who believed on him. And a disciple indeed rests upon a condition. That condition is if you continue. If you continue, that implies there are obstacles to overcome. Do you find in your Christian life that you are constantly facing obstacles? If you're not facing obstacles, that's probably a sign you're not even a believer, because when you become a believer in Christ, you are going to face obstacle after obstacle. I'm not just talking about, your car breaks down, but all kinds of things and how you get past those, because there comes a point when you can say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I can't take this anymore. Being a Christian is too much hassle. So the word implies obstacles are to be overcome. One who continues is an overcomer. As in the parable of the soils. Remember the seed that falls on the stony ground? Springs up. Jesus says later, that's with somebody who professes salvation with joy. They're excited about the Christian life and being saved. And then he says, the temptations and cares of this life and riches and persecution come along. And they discontinue. Continue. In my word. Just look at that one word, continue. I went through the book of John years ago when we preached through John, and I went through every time the word continue, and I highlighted it in my Bible. I was going through those a couple of days ago, just starting in John 1, and I was looking at all my highlights of the word continue. It's not always translated continue. Sometimes it's translated abide. remain, dwell. Last chapter, it's translated tarry. John, the apostle, it's used 114 times in the New Testament. John uses it more than 60 times. What do you think John was preaching all the time? Continuance. Continuance. 40 times here in his gospel, 23 times in his epistle, one time in his book of Revelation. But I want to read this one from John, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Key word there, they did not continue. We know that once saved, always saved, because God will continue the work of salvation in you. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. However, not only will God continue to perform the work of salvation, but the Christian too will continue the work of salvation. Because in Philippians 2:12, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean work for your salvation. It says work out the salvation you already have with fear and trembling. You will continue. So the character of continue is found in three abilities. Number one, stability. My life's verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Stability. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You need, as a Christian, and you'll see this repeated in the epistles, you need to be stable. That's one of the very characteristics of continuing, is you are stable. The second ability is predictability. 2 Corinthians 5:17, predictability. Somebody who is predictable, you know what they're going to do. You know what they will not do. Do you know some people, you go, well, they would never do that. They're predictable. Predictability. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What was the old creature and what's the new creature? Let's just talk about animals here. Before you got saved, what would you have been likened to as an animal? After you get saved, what animal are you likened to? Let's just start with that one. After you're saved, to what animal are you likened? Sheep. So now you're a new creature. You're a sheep. Then what were you before? Goat? Pig? Dog? Can you predict what a dog will do many times as compared to a sheep? Let's just put the sheep over here and the dog over here. Can you predict what the dog's going to do and what the sheep is going to do? Yeah, they're very predictable. Folks, continuance, one of the abilities is predictability. You know what a sheep does. You know what a dog and a hog and a goat does. You know what they do. They're predictable. So there's predictability. For some people, you can honestly say, oh, he would never do that. But others, given the chance, they would do anything. A Christian, he would never go there. Predictability. And then the third comes very close with that predictability. Here's the third ability. So you got stability, predictability, dependability. Dr. Bob Senior used to say, the greatest ability is dependability. Dependability. Matthew 25:23. Because dependability is very closely related to faithfulness. And there in Matthew 25 and verse 23, Jesus in the parable says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You dependable servant. Well done. A true believer is dependable. Someone who has the character of continuance is dependable. Many professing Christians are disabled. They're not able. You can't depend upon them. In short, perseverance is a true mark of faith. I'll make this statement. It is not how you begin, but how you finish. The faith that fizzles at the finish was only a flare at first that burned out. But if you truly have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, that fire will never burn out.
Amen.
The character of continuance is seen in those three abilities. Secondly, in this passage, we see the object of continuance. The object of continuance. If ye continue in my word. This is the heart of the continuance principle. This separates the fickle disciple from the genuine disciple. The disciple indeed will continue, not just in anything, but in my word. Notice that Jesus doesn't say here that he will continue in my church. You can go to an apostate church. Continuing in a church doesn't mean you're saved. Continuing in my word. Go to John chapter 15, look at verse 7. Since it's right here in the same book, it takes you just a minute. John 15, 7. Twice the word continue appears in this verse translated abide. John 15, 7, if ye abide in, if you continue in me, and my words continue in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Continue in my word. If you go back to John chapter 6, Jesus says some things that are really hard for people to say, man, is that really true? And it says in John chapter 6, I'm going back there in my Bible, John chapter 6 and verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Now notice what these disciples do in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So these who claimed to be his disciples were exposed as not being disciples indeed. They discontinued because of his word, what he said. So what does it mean to continue in my word? I wrote down two things. One who continues in the word of the Lord has, number one, a desire to hear it. A desire to hear the word. Do you recognize this phrase in the New Testament? He that hath ears to hear, finish that for me. Let him hear. How important is hearing the word of God? Very important, because do we not read, faith cometh by? And hearing by? The word of God. Hearing and the word of God are so closely related. That's why it is so important for us to be proclaimers of the word so people can hear. Then you get to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, and Jesus is addressing each of the seven churches, and every one of them, it ends this way. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So how important is hearing? Listen, if you're going to continue in his word, it is important that you have a desire to hear it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. The faith to be saved came by the word of God. The faith to continue comes by the word of God. If you continue in my word. I know people have struggles with assurance of salvation. It may be because you're not in the word like you need to be. I find that the more I am in God's word, the more secure I am in Christ. I'm already secure in him, but as far as I know, and if you want to use the word feel, when I'm in his word, that assurance is solidified. Something wrong when you don't word the when you claim to be a Christian and don't read the Bible much. There's something wrong if you claim to be a Christian and you don't avail yourself of the preaching and teaching of God's word. There's something wrong. I'm not saying you're not saved, but there's something wrong. I think if we were under persecution, it would expose a lot. I remember when I went to the island of Saipan, and I was there for a week teaching pastors from China, underground pastors. And they gave me the opportunity to meet with each of those pastors in groups. I would meet with five of them at a time. And they could speak just a very little bit of English. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but I thought to ask them, well, how many times have you read your Bible? Now, some of these guys are in their 20s. And I'd go around and say, how many times have you read your Bible? How many times have you read your Bible? You know what these guys were telling me in their 20s and 30s? I've read my Bible at least 20 or 30 times. Some guys 40 and 50 times. If I were to sit down with each of you and go through and say, how many times have you read your Bible completely through? What answer would I get? I tell you, those guys don't doubt their salvation. One who continues in my word has a desire to hear it. But not only that, number two, a determination to do it. Not just the desire to hear it, but then having heard, to do it. And determination to do it. A Holy Spirit given determination to do it. Do you know where I'm going next? Do you know that Jesus spoke to the crowds, gave them the Sermon on the Mount, and at the very end, he said, now, the one who hears my words and doesn't do it is likened unto a man who built his house on the sand. And the storms came, the winds blew, and what happened to that house? It was blown to smithereens. But the man who hears my words and does it is like a man who built his house on the rock. Storms came, trials come, difficulties come, the obstacles come, and what happens? The house stands. It continues. If one hears the word but does not do it, he is not continuing in it. You can be biblically literate while not being biblically obedient. Jesus once said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Luke 8:11-28. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. When scripture contradicts your belief or your action, and you're somebody who continues in the word, it will change you. You will immediately say, I need to change that. That's continuing in my word. As I read my Bible, and I read the New Testament, I find a man who's under tremendous stress. Tremendous stress. Can I just read to you some of the stress this man is under and was under? I'm going to the passage. I'm not going to tell you where it is so that I can find it and read it to you. And you can just listen to it as I read it. And you can tell me or think about who it is. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. That's stress. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in a deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Do you think this guy had some stress in his life? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Come on, was this guy under stress? Beside those things that are on the outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Do you think this man was under stress? You know what a doctor would prescribe to that man, the Apostle Paul? You need some Prozac, bud. You need some tranquilizers. So what is it that the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, what does he request from his son in the faith, Timothy? He says, Timothy, when you come, bring with you the books, but especially the parchments. That was the word of God. That was scripture. Not bring the prescriptions, bring the parchments. Why? Even the Apostle Paul had to continue in the word. That's how important it was. Well, there's the object of continuance, his word. Now we see lastly the impact of continuance. What impact is there in continuing in his word? Three things that we see. First of all, right there in verse 31 is identification. And by the way, all of these have to do with truth. I want to remind you, in verse 31, where's the word truth there? You're not going to see it translated truth. You're going to see it translated indeed, truly. It's related to the word truth that's given twice in verse 32. But let's look at 31b. Then are ye my disciples truly, indeed. You are my disciples. You are truly my disciples. Genuine conversion is indicated by a believing that does not stop. I find it interesting, in the book of John, the present tense of believe always indicates faith. If only you could know when believe is in the book of John, if you could only know it was in the present tense, wouldn't that help you? King James translators give you that. Have you ever wondered, why does it say believeth? The ETH in the King James indicates present tense. For example, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... present tense. Believes, keeps on believing in him. And time, I wrote down, I think, 10, 15 passages alone in the book of John where it's ETH, believeth, 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 believeth. Continuance, folks, is the test of reality. If today you are believing, there had to have been a moment in time when you believed. Get it? If today you are believing, continuing to believe, there had to have been a moment in time when you believed. The fact is this, the one who truly believed never stops believing. Continuance is the test of reality. Identification is one impact of continuance. The second is found in the first part of verse 32, illumination. And ye shall know the truth. It is so much easier to believe lies than it is the truth. Look at the political. Look at what's happening in our world. Look at the stupidity of what people believe. I mean, I can say this to you because you're believers and hopefully you believe in creation. Doesn't the theory of evolution just blow your mind? How can anybody be so stupid to believe in evolution and say that it is scientific? Fools. You know why? Because who is the ruler of this world? The father of lies. Jesus says that in the same chapter. Go down to verse 44. He's the father of lies. It is easier to believe lies because everybody's believing lies. Lies are more prevalent. Why? The whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. But folks, knowing the truth is more than simply knowing what is true. It is knowing the truth. How do you know the truth? Continue in my word. Truth about what? What do you see revealed in the scriptures about God? Who God is. The more you read your Bible, the more you truly meditate on it, desire to understand it, come to church and hear it preached, come to church and hear it taught, the more you're going to understand who God is. The more you're going to understand the concepts of separation, the more you're going to understand about the nature of man, the more you're going to understand about the way of salvation, the way of Christian living. And the more you know the truth, the more you are illuminated, you understand and you see it. That brings us to the third thing. Not only identification, illumination, but independence. And this is the part most people remember, the last part of verse 32. And the truth, what? It'll make you free. It'll make you free. That means anybody who does not believe the truth is in bondage. They're slaves. Everybody who believes in the theory of evolution is a slave. They're not free. They've been enslaved to a lie. What are they free from? When Jesus said, "It'll make you free," free from what? Well, he gives us that in the very next few verses. They answered him in verse 32, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, ye should be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth," and here it is, "sin is the servant of sin." So when he says you shall be free, he's talking about sin. You are free from sin being your ruler. You are free from sin having dominion over you. You are free from the dominion of sin. That's why Paul puts it this way. Shall we continue in sin? There's the word continue. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, you continue in his word, you will not continue in sin. And that's why Paul asks it. There's no way that if you're saved, you're going to continue in sin. That's going to become your practice. David could not continue in sin. And a genuine disciple does not continue in sin, but does continue in God's word. When it says that the truth shall make you free, it implies that before believing, you were in bondage. By the way, it's a warning sign when people refuse to admit that they were once slaves to sin. If a man doesn't recognize, I'm a slave to sin, there's very little hope for him. And to be free is not to do as one wishes, but to do what one should do. I take you back to Lindy. Who was baptized here? I was giving that illustration earlier. I remember when she gave her testimony that day, you may remember this. She said something like this. She said, "For the first time today during the invitation, I did not have to try to convince myself I was saved. I knew it." She was free. Those who mock you as a Christian because you have a conscience not to do something that you say, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. Or you have an outright conviction from the scriptures that says, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. That's against the word of God. Those who mock you for that, you will find that those are the very ones who are slaves, shackled to sin, to church, religion, and human tradition, who themselves continue in sin and get used to it. They're in it and they get used to it. Do you find that if you do something repeatedly, you get used to it? I remember staying in a motel and it was the last room. The last room, the town was busy. This was in Hutchinson. Every motel room was taken. They had one more room, but they said it was a smoking room. That doesn't mean it was on fire. But somebody, we walked in there, we were overwhelmed with the stench of smoke. Last place in town. We stayed there that night. The next morning got up and I wasn't bothered by it anymore. I had gotten used to it. You can get used to sin because you've always done it. If you continue in His word, the world will continually have an offensive odor. In other words, the world never smells normal to someone who was continually in the word. Understand something about those who mock narrow-minded believers. They think they are free, even as these people thought in verse 33 that they are free, when they are actually in bondage. They are slaves to sin. There's nothing worse than slavery. But slavery alone, folks, is not the worst part. To whom are you a slave? Because I can be a slave to Jesus Christ and have complete freedom from sin. But if you are a slave to sin, you've got to have that next drink. You have to have that next cigarette. You have to have that next joint. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't get away from it. You're a slave to it. But when you're a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're a slave to His word, you have complete freedom. So, who was a genuine disciple? Someone who says, I believe? Not according to what Jesus says here. Not only will you believe, the indication that you are truly believing is that you will continue in Christ, who is the Word. So it's not the one who at first runs fast and furious, but the one who is still running at the very end. Are you an authentic disciple? Are you a disciple indeed? The true shepherd said that the authenticating document is not baptism, it is not church membership, it is not some verbal claim. The authenticating document is this. You are continuing in His word. Continuance is the test of reality.